Success. Let somebody say success.
Success.
Everybody wants success. What's the meaning of success?
Well, I guess success is to...
You can Google and let me know. What's the meaning of success? How do we define
I should succeed? Google it. You want Google, me to Google it.
Google it. You want okay. to know. It is one of the words that everybody cherishes because everybody aims to be a successful person.
According to Google, success means reaching a goal or getting the result you want.
Reaching a goal or getting a result you want.
It can also mean gaining wealth, fame, or a high position in life.
I was coming to that. How do you measure success in that case? If success has to do with reaching a goal, you have a set goal. How do you measure success? Today, if you have fame and popularity known all over the world, let's say success has come. If you have large numbers of followers, say success has come. Or your bank account is full, money overflowing, they say success has come. Or people recognize your talent and say, wow, what a successful person. And at that point, everybody wants to be like you. Everybody admire because you have achieved an uncommon goal. That's me, if I have to define success, is to achieve an uncommon goal. Because what makes you uncommon is not the law of a majority. It's a difference. When you say success, we have different standard of measuring success. For an artist, for a businessman, for a worker, for everybody. But the success the Bible is talking about is called good success.
I think success has to do with fulfillment. Because
Go ahead.
You can always strive to do more. And even if you're successful in one area of your life, you still want to strive in other areas. But if you're fulfilled, then to me, that is the meaning of success.
You say fulfill. Fulfill. Okay. If one has money and he has no peace, would you really call that success?
No. That if money can be a burden.
If you have fame and popularity and you have deadly sickness affecting your life, will you call that success for yourself?
No.
You say fulfillment. You're getting closer. What's the meaning of being fulfilled? Why do we say fulfill? There are two words for fulfill. Full and fill. Full and?
Fill.
How do you understand that? For me, full and fill means success must affect all the parts of your being. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. That's a good success. If I'm successful in body and I'm poor in spirit and my soul has no peace, I can't call that success. I'm ready to trade all what I call success to get that peace in the heart.
That's what I mean about fulfillment, because if we just measure success by things we achieve on the outside, but we don't actually have that inner peace and that conviction that we're actually fulfilling our purpose in life, then we will never be satisfied. And that's why we can never actually call anything a success, because by the time you achieve something, you just want more and more and more.
Okay, good. Many were successful before, but today they're successful no more. The money we saw before is no longer there. The number of people following you in the beginning are no longer there. A success that anything can stop by period, by situations, we don't call it really success. It's a temporary one. But the real success we are talking about, as I said, has to do with fulfillment. It comes with peace and comfort. I'm talking about a success that can secure your future. And when God gives you that success, you will maintain it throughout your lifetime. With peace of heart, with comfort in your soul, it will affect you and affect others, not only you. Me, it's like a river that flows from deep within you, affect your soul with peace and joy, and affect others because you are blessed to bless others. You become like an achiever that everybody wants to imitate, everybody wants to follow. Even generation yet unborn want to follow you.
My lifetime will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never, ever let me down. I will give God my lifetime.
Hallelujah. Many have money and they are afraid to lose it. Many have good health and are afraid to lose it. Many have position and they are afraid to lose it. They don't know how to maintain it. But if God gives you something from Him, He will give you the energy for the distance and to maintain it throughout your lifetime.
That's why success starts with giving God your lifetime.
Thank you.
Because it's not just a today decision. It's a forever decision.
Now, what is the foundation of that success? How can we achieve in our lives? What is the foundation? If that success comes from God, what does God require from you and me to release me to a place of success? What is the first step? That's the question to everybody who listens to me. You want to have an uncommon achievement. What is the starting point?
You have to submit to God first.
Okay, let's go to our proof text today. I'm going to use two people to illustrate our message today. King David, we all know, a successful king. Everything he touched, he succeeded. David, throughout his lifetime, to the very last moment, nobody took his position. And we took a case, the case of King Saul. We're going to compare the two. It is easier to reach a level of fulfillment. It's difficult to stay there. All high places are slippery places. When you reach high place, it makes you a target for the devil to shoot you out. In this world today, we see many people used to admire. But today, their reputation has been destroyed at the end. People say, hey, this is the best. And tomorrow they say, this is the bad. People follow you, have to reject you. But when success comes from God, it will outlive you. You will be remembered as an achiever by generation yet to come. Mm-hmm. Let's go to see the foundation of success from God. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. We're going to study the secret of the greatness of King David. And he revealed that secret to his son. Every achiever wants his followers or his son to be achievers. So he wants his son to follow his footsteps and to be greater than him. David bowed down on his bed when he heard people say, may God make Solomon your son greater than you. David said, amen. Hallelujah. You will never see a father who'd be jealous to see his son greater than him. He wants his son to be greater. Let's listen to the words of David at the last moment of his life.
1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart.
Goodness.
And with a willing mind.
Let's take it down. That's the secret is there. Go ahead again.
As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father.
Stop. Know the God of your father. By this word, he's telling you the knowledge of God is a bridge to success. To know God is to know his ways.
And anything David had achieved in his lifetime was because of God.
Absolutely.
That's what he was telling his son.
We are talking about achievement by power and might and achievement in Christ Jesus by the help of God. Mm. Achievement with a difference. Know the God of your father. Why David is saying this? Don't forget, everybody rejected David when he was young, even his father. Prophet Samuel never saw beyond the appearance of David. If God said, no, not Eliab, but David is my chosen one. And God chose this small boy, fragile boy, a shepherd boy, and make him one of the greatest achievers in the history of Israel. Up to today, his name is mentioned everywhere, King David. Now, let's continue. Know the God of your
father and serve him with a loyal heart.
Serve him with a
loyal heart. And with a willing mind.
That is the secret. Serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. That's the first key. These are the pillars. A loyal heart and a willing mind. This is the secret of David. That's why the Bible called a man after God's own heart. Mean a man whose heart is loyal to God. And his mind is willing to obey the instruction from God. That's the foundation. You want to be great. Look at the great heroes of faith. They had a loyal heart towards God. Mean, what whatever the situation looks like, nothing, absolutely nothing can change their mind about what they believe about God. Joseph, the same. The secret of success lies in your heart. And the walk towards success lies in your mind. Remember last week we said, God gave you a picture and you have to walk towards a future. God can give you a picture inside of you, but do you believe it? Do you walk towards it? Many dreams remain dormant, stagnant. But this little boy, nobody knew about him, but God was building him in the secret place behind the sheep when he confronted the lions and the bears. I mean, God's ability in him made him great. He said to Solomon, if you want to be like me or greater than me, know the God of your father. Number one.
Serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind.
Serve him with a loyal heart with a willing mind. We're going to explain after.
For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts.
Oh my God. The Lord searches all the
hearts.
And what?
And understands all the intent of the thoughts.
What's the meaning of this? Faith is your movement towards God. Faith is your movement toward the path of greatness to where God is taking you. But you have to have a willing mind and a willing mind to follow. Jesus called simple fishermen on the Sea of Galilee and asked them to follow him. Nobody knew who Simon Peter was. But today, his name is all over the world, are fishes of men. Because they follow Jesus and reach the path of greatness. If God calls you to a position of greatness, he will give you a vision. But are you loyal to the vision? Are you loyal to the one that calls you? Are you loyal to his leading? You have to follow the path. The way to greatness is not a bed of roses. It's paved with trouble and situation. But today, many have a dream and they allow their dream to be stifled by opposition, by trouble, by situations, and they're afraid to step into faith. Jesus calls so many people to follow him. But they look at the circumstances and say, yeah, no, this price is too much for me. If you want to achieve something uncommon, you have to pay an uncommon cost. The cost of faith, the cost of obedience. Now he said to his son Solomon, serve the Lord your God with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches
all hearts.
Yes.
And understands all the intent of the thought.
This means God will test your heart with a test of faith to see whether you're loyal to him. And will test your mind to see whether you're willing. When the test came, what was the first great test of faith of David? What was it?
Oh, the lion and the bear.
Lions and the bear. But that was in a secret place.
Yeah.
The second biggest one in the open public was Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
When he came, the king said, hey, now I'm going to compare two people. There was a king called Saul. He was called to be a king, anointed king, was a leader, the greatest person. But that king Saul was afraid to confront Goliath. He was a king. He achieved a type of greatness, but his greatness never lasted because he forsook the way of God. Because he forsook the way of God by being disobedient to the call. And David was obedient to the call, and David reached greatness. In that battle, the small boy kept saying to the king, I am going to fight this giant for you. He said, huh? You're a small boy. You can't do this. And he took his weapon and gave it to this boy. And said, no, I cannot walk with this. And David followed the ways of the Lord.
Because that was the armor he was used to, the strength and power of God, not relying on his own fleshly understanding. That's why he said, I can't walk in this because I'm not used to it. What I'm used to is depending on God. And that is why he went to go and face the giant in the armor, the best armor you can possibly have, which is the word of God and the spirit of God.
Number two, God tested the loyalty of Saul. How? What was the greatest test he failed in his life?
When the instruction was to wait for Samuel before offering the sacrifice.
Yes. What did he do?
He didn't wait. He was impatient. He was moved by what the people said and the people's opinion of him and his reputation in front of the people.
He was moved by fear. Samuel said to him, go and wait for me. I will come. I will offer a sacrifice. He waited 7 days, Samuel said. But on the seventh day, there was a battle preparing. The Philistine, the enemy, was everywhere. And all the soldiers deserted. and very few people around him. He knew that only God can save him from that. And instead of waiting, the pressure was so much, he got afraid. He offered a sacrifice himself. He broke the way of God. His son will say, what have you done?
And he didn't give everything of the spoils of battle to God.
That's the test of time.
He kept some back.
That's another one. But the greatest one that cost him his life. Mm. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. The test of loyalty, the test of the heart, and the test of time. To test your mind, God will give you the test of time. But the test of heart is the test of obedience.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him.
He inquired of God, and God did not
answer him.
Mm-hmm.
Either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets.
Mm.
Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.
Can't you imagine that? He inquired from God. God remained silent. No dream, no vision. He went to the Urim, the way of consulting God through the priest. God remained silent. The prophets remained silent. No revelation. When God remained silent to test him, what did he do? He went to a witch doctor, to the abomination, and went to the power of the devil to inquire from God. And judgment came over him. When you look at the life of David, he committed some sin, but he never was disloyal to God. His heart was loyal to the word of God, to the ways of God, to the very moment. When he committed sin, he repented immediately and turned his heart back to God. Loyalty of heart.
Mm.
Of soul. He disobeyed the ways of the Lord and he ended up in failure. He was successful in the beginning, but the success did not last. The kingdom was divided. That's why we say the beginner is the owner of success, but the finisher. David had the secret that David never went to a place of success without inquiring from God.
Mm.
We saw that Saul inquired from God, as you just read. Read it again, verse 6, that God never answered neither by?
Either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets.
Let's take one by one. Means dreams, Urim or prophet, God has three ways of speaking to his people in the Old Testament. God can give you a dream and a vision to tell you what is to come. If you believe your vision, you follow the ways of the Lord. God can speak to him through the Urim. That was the way of searching the face of God with the ephod. And God was answering. But God never answered him. Mm. Now God can speak to you by the prophet. You can pray. You have a terrible situation. God will send a prophet to tell you, hey, don't be afraid. That's how God said to Hezekiah. That's why God sent prophet Isaiah to the king. Now this time, God will send prophet to David. Let's take the case of David. Let's go to 1 Samuel, chapter 22, to see the habit of David compared to Saul. Go to 1 Samuel, chapter 22. Let's start from verse 3 to 4.
1 Samuel 22, from verse 3. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me.
What happened? Saul failed and God chose David. When he failed, God left him. The Spirit of God left him. And now when they heard that the grace was on David, he did everything to destroy David. Mm. And David was running from place to place to run away to save his life. Let's read. Mm-hmm.
So he brought them before the king of Moab and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold.
Mm.
Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay.
The prophet, you see? Read again verse 2 clearly. There's something David said that I haven't heard.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them.
Yes, continue.
And there were about 400 men with him.
They followed David. Continue.
Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me.
Till I know what God will do for me. Mean he was looking for direction from God. He took his parents, his security, was running for his life. Till I know what God will do for me. He knew only God could rescue him. Only God can protect him. He relied absolutely on God, and God heard those words.
Because it wasn't just his mouth saying it, it was his heart saying it.
Yes, till I know what God will do for me. And the answer came.
He couldn't go before God.
Thank you. Verse 5, the answer came through a prophet. Let's listen.
Now the prophet of Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart.
Oh my God.
And go to the land of Judah."
Do not stay here. Depart and go to the land of Judah. When he was persecuted, they were looking for him everywhere. It is God that saved him by leading him step by step into a place of refuge, a place of security. When the prophet said to him, "Don't stay here, go there," what happened? What did David do?
Verse 5. David departed and went into the forest of Hereth.
Departed in obedience and left. He always inquired from God.
Mm.
Where God guides,
he provides.
Where God guides, he
protects.
That's the secret of success. He will provide you. He will protect the blessings. You will not lose them. He will bless you and you will be able to maintain it. He will guide you and bless you. You have peace and security. He will put you to the throne and be with you to protect that throne. He will give you blessing. You will not lose it. He will protect it. He will guide you, protect you, because you are loyal and faithful to him. David did that all the step of his life. He inquired from God. He never went to a place without God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 23, another example of the secret of success.
1 Samuel 23 from verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.'"
Listen to that. Everybody was afraid of the Philistine. Remember, the same Philistine that caused Saul to be so afraid that he offered a sacrifice. Everybody was afraid, but David did what? He inquired from the
Lord.
What did he say to God?
"Should I go?
Should I go to the battle?"
Mm-hmm.
David never go without hearing go from God. He always included God. That's why he was successful. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit.
Not by power, it's never by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain's been removed. This mountain has been removed in Jesus' name. This mountain has been removed by my spirit, says the Lord.
Mean good success comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. When God say go, David never hesitated. What happened after God say go? Continue reading.
But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah."
Stop that. The men follow him, the 400, were scared. They was afraid because how can 400 men face an army of Philistines that's so powerful, with chariots, with swords? They were afraid. Huh? Read it again. They were afraid.
How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?
Mm-hmm.
Then David inquired of the Lord once again.
My God, listen to it. David inquired a second time. When he heard people were afraid, and what they were saying was nothing but truth in the outside, David never allowed to change his mind. He went to God again a second time. What happened this time? Tell me.
And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand."
Take note. Go to Keilah, for I will what? I will deliver the enemy into your hand. God said, "I will fight the battle, not you." What does it mean when God says, "I will deliver your enemy into your hand"? Okay, you are one and you have 1,000 people. God says, "Don't be afraid. I will deliver them into your hand." What's the meaning of that?
That it's not by your natural power.
If God leaves 1,000 people into your hand, how God will deliver into your hand? What's the meaning of that? This simply means God will put a spirit of fear and terror in the heart of your adversary. They will be scattered. They will be confused. They will even fight between themselves by confusion. God will defeat them in their hearts first before you face them in the natural. So God give you the assurance the way he guides, He provides. If he leads you to the place of battle, he will not leave you without victory.
If he leads you.
If he leads you. Take note of that.
In the same way, that temptation, it was the spirit that led Jesus to the desert where he was tempted. That's why it's the same spirit of God that strengthened him to resist that temptation and comforted him in the midst of that temptation. But we shouldn't tempt the devil to tempt us and then wonder why we're left to our own strength. Remember, we have to be led by God in everything we do. That is the secret to success.
So, if God leads you into a business, he will not leave you without success.
If God leads you into a marriage, that marriage will stay strong despite the storms, the challenges, the difficulties, the vicissitudes of life.
If God takes you to a place of fulfillment, fulfillment forever.
And if God gives you a vision, don't allow that vision to be reduced by men. Stay in faith. Stay in the will of God.
God will be there to secure the vision. If God gives you a direction, he will give you the energy for the distance. And God always fulfilled what he started. David understood this. That is why he was not influenced by the size of the mountain, but the greatness of his God. Number two, you can see that God can speak through the ephod. God can speak through the prophet. But God speaks through vision. He was a man of vision. We don't talk much about David as being a man of vision, right? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 26. How God spoke to this man called David. And in which way God spoke to him, he understood the ways of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Let's go.
Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah opposite Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with
Imagine
him.
Imagine that.
To seek David in the wilderness of Ziph.
The king and 3,000 best soldiers was hunting this man like a gazelle. David was running from town to town, running from place to place. If you go to this place, they say he's there, he ran away from somewhere. Continue what happened.
Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come.
Okay, read it again. Read it gently.
But David stayed in the wilderness.
David was in the wilderness hiding.
And he saw that Saul...
He saw. How did he see? That's vision. God revealed to him while he was in the wilderness. He saw what?
The Saul came after him into the wilderness.
That Saul was coming to that same place to look for him. God revealed to him that in a dream.
David therefore sent out spies.
Now, to confirm whether the dream was true or not, he sent spies to see that what he saw in the vision is real or not. What happened?
And understood that Saul had indeed come.
When they came, he understood. The indeed, take note of indeed. I mean, the dream was true. Indeed, the enemy would lie. God showed him. He was a man after God's own heart. God led him by dream. God led him by the prophets. God led him by consulting the ephod. In whichever way David turned towards God, he received answer from God. Because God saw this man, didn't want to do anything without involving God. Now you can see the secret we are talking about. Whatever project you have, if you don't want to end in failure, be sure to begin with God. If you don't want to end up with disappointment, be sure to begin with God. Carry God along in your undertakings. Let the Spirit of God lead you through the narrow way of faith. If he leads you, he'll be there to see you through whatever life brings. We are talking about success. One point. Let's go to the gift of God. Exodus chapter 31. Let's see how the Holy Ghost can give you inspiration to see the vision, how he can speak to you and reveal to you the plan of greatness God has for you. Exodus chapter 31. Let's see from verse 1 to 3.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship."
Glory be to God. This is the next step of the message of last week. You can see, you have a place of destiny, You have a calling God in your life. You need the Holy Ghost to go to a place of success and destiny. You can see God say, I know you by name. Ruth, God knows you by name.
Amen.
My brother, God knows you by name. We mean he knows you. He knows your past, your present, and your future. Nothing about you is hidden in the sight of God. Not only that, God say, I know him by name and I have filled him with the spirit of wisdom. I mean, I have given him a gift for me, a talent. So if I don't discover my talent, I just say it's a natural gift. Somebody, you can have a child, somebody can have a gift of singing or a talented footballer or a person that have uncommon speaking skills. These natural gifts are gifts from God. But the question, are they for the glory of God or for else?
Mm.
If you have a sense of destiny and you carry God along, that gift will be for the glory of God. Anointing will come on that gift and life will flow from it.
Mm.
God said, this man, I filled him with the spirit of wisdom. I give him ability to do this. And Bezalel was able to understand the plan and to execute exactly what God wanted. Everybody can receive a dream. But do you understand your dream? Do you understand God's way? Do you know your way? The first step of knowing your calling is to know your God.
And also to obey his voice through God's word. Because one thing is to be convinced that something is real. Another thing is to actually allow that to affect your daily decisions in your life. So that's the difference between being convinced and converted.
Good. If you're not loyal to God, how will you believe your dream? How will you be loyal to the dream God gives you?
And how will you step out in obedience?
Yes, when the dream is tested. Joseph received a dream. He saw himself in the position of leadership. Everybody was bowing before him. But he believed it was a dream God gave him. It was a starting point. That's why when he went to the dry pit, he knew that this was not his place. When he went to the prison, he knew that wasn't his place. He believed, he understood where God was taking him, and he followed that path by listening and hearing what God says in his heart.
Mm, because you can only be successful when you follow the spirit of success himself, which is the Holy Spirit.
Good. Now today, let's bring it to our case today. Yeah. We're talking about Saul. We talk about David. What about we today? The same law of good success applies. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The same thing David did and led him to great success.
Mm.
The same thing all the heroes of faith applied in their lives and went to good success. The same thing God lays before us today.
Mm.
Let's listen to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
It's not by power.
I have a wonderful choir. It is never by this mountain shall be removed by my spirit,
says the Lord.
Mean the mountain of impossibilities will be leveled by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So as you're watching today, you're thinking, how can I succeed in my life? Because everyone wants to succeed. No one wants to be a failure. No one wants to be known as the person that didn't make it in this or that way or that way. And remember that success is not measured by what other people's opinion of you is. Success is not measured by what other people achieve and you want to compare yourselves to them on the outside. Success from Jesus is about fulfilling what he has for you and living in obedience to his word and also allowing yourself to do the best that you can in every area to glorify him. And we can only do our best when that spirit of excellence is upon us from the Holy Spirit.
Don't forget, serve God with a loyal heart and a willing mind.
And a willing Let's mind.
See Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We know who Joshua was.
Mm-hmm.
We know who Moses was. Joshua saw Moses, a man of great uncommon success. Joshua grew up in the shadow of Moses and God handed over the mantle to Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. How will Joshua make such an achievement? See what God said to him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's listen to God.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth.
But you shall meditate in it day and night.
Meditate on it day and night.
that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it.
This means you can never be to a place of success without the word of God.
Amen.
Which word of God? The word spoken by the Holy Spirit.
For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success.
Caleb, when everybody was afraid in Numbers chapter 14, they spoke the word of faith and entered the promised land. But everybody who was afraid and overwhelmed and spoke negatively never entered the promised land. You must have a hearing heart. You must hear from God. Let your heart be loyal. And God said, Caleb, my servant, has a different heart.
Mm.
Meaning has a loyal heart to me. He will enter the promised land. And they were willing to obey God because they rely on God's resources and ability to bring impossibilities, to make them possible in their life. So today, the secret of success, if you have a vision from God and your vision is challenged by man or natural circumstances, do not reduce your vision. I repeat, if God gives you a vision and it is challenged by man, it is challenged by situation or by Satan himself, do not reduce your vision. Stay in the will of God. When the wind comes, when everything's so the opposite, mean you expect success, nobody came. You say, this is failure. It's not failure indeed. Stay in the will of God till the time comes. There's time to plant a seed. There's time to water and time of harvest. When you plant a seed deep in your heart, keep the seed of greatness in your heart. Don't reduce your vision. Continue to pray.
And remember that God is the owner of our life. So the greatest reward we have is when we reach him on that final day and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because that is real success. So if you don't receive reward in this life, remember that the reward is over there, the real reward, because we're not doing what we're doing for human appreciation or human reward on the outside. What we should do it for God's sake, and therefore we're doing it for the right reason. And that is real success, success that will last. And remember, that's what people will see in you when you have that peace of heart, when you have that conviction in your life and your heart. That's when God can use you to also help other people come to a point of success in their life as well.
So if God gives you a vision, you are facing trouble, situation, that's the opposite. Joseph saw himself to be a king or a great leader. The next day, he was in a dry pit. He never said, is my dream true? He believed his dream. Never allow natural circumstances to cause the doubt of what God has planted in your heart. That's why he say, when you face adversity, continue to meditate on your dream till revelation come. Revelation come when Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. When he speaks to your heart, act on it. And breakthrough will certainly come in the name of Jesus. When Peter was a fisherman, God was calling to be a fisher of man, not a fisher of fish, as we said. And that's a natural talent, catch fish. When Jesus met him at the point of disappointment, he couldn't catch any fish. Jesus sent forth the word of faith. He believed a miraculous catch of fish. And the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. And now Peter began to catch men. The first time he spoke, 3,000 people became Christian. So please follow Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Read the word of God. Meditate on it till revelation comes in your heart by the Spirit of God. That's inspiration. When it comes, begin to meditate on it. Till the Holy Ghost come and release you to act on it, and you will see the uncommon breakthrough of God in your life. That's the secret of good success.
And all of us have moments in our life where we're tempted to act more like Saul than David. It's very easy for us to say, oh, no, I don't relate to King Saul. No, I'm more like David. Well, in every area, there's different stages in our life, and sometimes if we decide to give in to the temptation of people around us and what they think, or maybe our own fear, and that causes us to act out of character, that means we too in that moment, we're behaving more like Saul than David. So what it means is we should use these two characters as a reminder that it's true, Saul was called by God to be king because the people were clamoring for a king. That, okay, I'll give you a king. But the real choice of God's heart lay with David. That means we should examine our life and understand that everyone is prone to pride, to all these fruits of the flesh that can rob us from the success that God has planned and designed for us. Don't allow yourself to become more like Saul than David in any part of your life.
Remember what David said to Solomon, know the Lord your God, serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. When loyal heart revelation comes, you must be loyal to the vision God gave you. That's why Satan will come to bombard your mind with fear, opposition, to cause you to look for alternatives, as Saul did. He went to witch doctor. He will fight your mind not to believe your dream. Not to wait or to believe what God put in your heart.
Mm.
So the mind must be renewed by knowing the will of God to be willing submission to do the will of God. David, in the face of life-threatening situation, was willing to obey. He stepped into the battlefield.
And he continued to inquire of God.
And we saw what God did. Mm. So believe Jesus, for the way is narrow, but the way is secured, because God is walking with you. Emmanuel, God is with you.
If you don't want to end in failure, be sure to begin with God. And not just begin with God, include God every step of the way. And that's how that success will never leave you. Real success.
If you have a sense of destiny, you will walk in the direction of God's calling for your life fearlessly. And then you will achieve something uncommon. You will make a difference in your life by the anointing of the Spirit of Jesus. Amen.